under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. Let me remind you, as I often do, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd love to have your participation, dialogue, and discussion on the issues each and every day. We're talking about an issue today that I believe that we need to ask ourselves very seriously as conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, as Americans. The question is the church in jeopardy? With what we see in America, what we see taking place today politically, as we see what is happening on a global basis, and as we watch what is happening in some major races that will be determined tomorrow in America, should Christians be concerned about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ being in jeopardy? What does it look like if we have Islamic after Islamic after Islamic, or socialist, communist, Marxist going into office across America, office after office, position after position? Where is it going in America? What are your thoughts in relationship? Does it make any difference? Should the church be concerned today if we witness the election of a mayor in New York City, about 8 million plus citizens and our people in New York City? Should we be concerned if it goes socialist, Marxist, communist, Islamic? Does that bode any future danger for America, especially for Christians in the church? What are your thoughts? And we'll also talk about the fact that a good indication of what's happening with Islamic jihadists when released in a nation, all we must do is look at what's happening in Nigeria. The Nigerian Christians have been slaughtered. Some have estimated around 100,000 in the past 2 years in Nigeria. President Trump has just announced that he's going to intervene to save the lives of Christians. Now, there's a big debate there. Should America get involved? Should President Trump get involved? Should we, as conservative citizens in America, ask God to allow his divine intervention to stop the Islamic jihadist slaughter of Christians in Nigeria? Perhaps you're saying, well, that'll never happen in America. Perhaps you're saying America could never go Islamic. Perhaps you're saying America would always be a constitutional republic. It could never go into communism, socialism, Marxism, wackoism, however you want to call it. It's not funny, but it's a fact. That's the issues that we'll discuss today, and we'll invite your telephone call. We'll have a brief monologue. After the monologue, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to join in the dialogue and discussion. And again, let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's God's truth book, John 8:31-32. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, ladies and gentlemen, that's a very important text, very important two verses that we need to understand. Jesus says, if, that's a volitional decision to do what is desirable here. If you continue in my word, then it is if you say yes to the if, and you are involved in the study of the word, then you're my disciples indeed. And the word indeed could be translated also truly. To determine a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, examine whether or not there's a continuum in the word of God. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It's continuing in the word of God to see what God's word says that causes one to be recognized as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the freedom that we have in knowing what God's word says allows us to look at world events, local events, state events, global events, through the prism of the word of God. What does God's word say? How does it apply today? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Whatever God said and whatever God's done in the past, present, he'll do in the future. And may I say to you, from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22:21, you find God's word being the unfurling, the unfolding, the progressive revelation of God to man. And there's not an event, not a thing, not anything that can take place on the face of the globe that somehow, some way is not already addressed in the word of God as to what to expect, what to do, and how we should respond. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's a declaratory statement made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. It's the truth book. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord will endure forever. That's a pretty good length of time. You find the truth of the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party usually will not last more than 24 hours. It's not truth. It's not indelibly factual. It is something that is fictitious, mythological, and not real. The world that they live in, ladies and gentlemen, may I say this, the world that the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democrats live in is a world that is alien to and in total opposition to what we believe as Christians and where we stand as citizens in the United States of America. You can't find truth in much of anything, if at all, in some of their statements and comments and their protocol of what they do. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we see taking place today on a wholesale basis. We need to recognize what one calls truth may not necessarily be truth. I go back to the statement made by the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. In a headline of a couple of years ago, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint said. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in some of our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need today to recognize where we stand as Christians, as conservatives, as pastors, as churches, and ask the question, is the church in jeopardy? When we have such a large segment of society as the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, where according to the latest survey, 55% of them say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their statement is, they're referring to the millennials, each person determines their own version of truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, ladies and gentlemen, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. That's my challenge on this broadcast each and every day. As Christians, as conservatives, Christians seek the truth, listen to it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, and be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com. We have our lines filled, and just a moment we'll open our telephone lines and allow you to ask your questions, join in the dialogue and discussion today. One more thought or two before we open our lines. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the events that are rapidly unfolding in America and around the world. It's almost in rapid fire that we see events taking place around our globe. Events that we look at and yawn perhaps on occasion and say, well, I could expect no different. What could we expect except for that? Look at the nation it's coming from. Look at what is happening. Ladies and gentlemen, around the globe, there's chaos, confusion, and calamity that's taking place. And we need to understand that in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 and following, the Bible says this, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And he goes in then giving the character, the characteristics, and the conduct of humanity in the last days. And that's where we are today. Perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult. And that's what we're witnessing today. My question is the church in jeopardy when we see these things taking place? The question just how will these national and global events affect the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? How will it affect biblical values with what we see happening today in the world? It is a mindset today, ladies and gentlemen, that there's no law. Lawlessness abides and abounds. In fact, in Matthew 24 and 25, the eschatological prophetic two chapters in the Bible, matching with Mark the 13th chapter and Luke the 21st chapter, gives us the signs of the last days. And part of those signs, according to Matthew 24, verses 10, 11, and 12 in particular, talks about lawlessness shall abound. The word is iniquity. Iniquity can be translated twisted, perverted sin, and also lawlessness. We're witnessing lawlessness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're in the, I believe, about the 32nd or 33rd day of the shutdown of the government. You've heard me say before just in the past several days that I believe the shutdown will last probably upward of 45 days. In fact, the Democrats said they're not going to do anything until planes start falling out of the sky as far as the shutdown is concerned. Now, the shutdown is good on one side of the coin. On one side of the coin, with the government shutdown, we as citizens do not have to worry about legislation being formed and voted on and passed that will further restrict the freedoms that we have in our nation. But ladies and gentlemen, there's the mindset with the shutdown that pervades America right at this very moment. And that is, if I don't give my paycheck, if I don't give my government a subsistence check, if I don't get my EBT card, if I don't get my SNAP benefits, if I don't get these things that are socialistic in character to begin with, if I don't get the handout from the government, I'm going to go in and just start stealing everything that there is. Now, my question is with that, is the church in jeopardy as we see that taking place? I listened to one pastor recently by way of internet, and he was talking about with the shutdown and the church needs to get involved. He said the church needs to go out and buy groceries and set up a free grocery pantry, invite these folks to come in. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to survive today, and I'm here to tell you that we didn't have government assistance back in my era. We didn't have someone to pull up with a truckload of groceries and say, we've gathered this up for you. It was the mindset then that if you don't work, you don't eat. And right now we have some 42,700,000 some odd thousand that's on the dole drawing benefits that they've discovered now that millions of them do not qualify, but yet under the Obama and Biden administration socialist, Marxist, communist agenda, they've been placed on that, and now you start telling them they cannot get it, even if it's a temporary thing. The mindset is, we're going to tear America down. We're going to go out and just do whatever we want to do and get gain and gather. I'm looking at a headline that says, get out there, ravish woman out of food stamps shows off stolen goods, urges others to steal at will and infiltrate the churches and get the cash. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a large article. I just refer to it. But the bottom line is, the mindset is, we're going to go out and break the law if the socialist system does not put in our hands something that we want without working. And that particular one, ladies and gentlemen, that headline I just read, the video that came with that online showed a woman sitting in her car with an armload of expensive goods. None of it was food. But the mindset is, by the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party, if the shutdown lasts very long, millions of babies are going to die. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not true at all. In fact, with President Trump and his cabinet, they're making every effort to find means and methodology to find a way to find dollars in other accounts that's available that may be able to be used in an emergency fashion. But it's all brought about as a result of the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democratic Party refusing to simply authorize a continuing resolution. And by the way, the resolution was simply to continue the government as it was until the vote that's supposed to be taking place about November the 15th anyway. We're on that date, and I believe the shutdown will go to approximately that date, my most humble opinion. But ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, as we witness the chaos, the confusion, and the calamity, and the perilous times, and we're talking about several of these events in particular today, is the church in jeopardy? Is it possible that this will encroach on the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it possible that there will be restrictions? I'm a witness today to tell you that I've read article after article after article where churches are being prosecuted and persecuted today, where Christians are being persecuted and prosecuted, not counting what's happening in Nigeria, which is part and parcel of what we'll talk about today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, you're dead on point about everything. And I believe the young people in New York that's voting for this crazy guy, this socialist, communist guy, a Muslim, they're going to reap what they sow. And I tell you the truth, I forgot what state it was, but the Christians were standing up, and he told them that y'all need to go somewhere else because it's not welcome here. And this is in the United States.
Well, the state you're talking about is the outskirts of Dearborn, Michigan, the state of Michigan, where the mayor, which happened to be Islamic jihadist mayor, told a Christian pastor, right, he questioned a street sign being renamed, a street being renamed, and the name that was to be given was naming after a Islamic martyr, as they called them, and he just questioned the validity of doing that, and all of a sudden the mayor said that he needed to get out of town. He's not wanted. In fact, the mayor said publicly that when you leave town, we'll have a parade rejoicing over your leaving. That is the mindset today, and that's one of the major things, Kenneth, that I want our listeners to understand. We're witnessing the progressive exponential threat of Islamization of America. We're witnessing that taking place, and I don't see any voices from pulpits today. I don't see any voices from churches and Christians today. There's a few out there. I listened to one the other day by way of the internet where he was challenging the people to recognize the Islamic jihadist move to take over America. But it seemed like most Christians and most churches, the pastor's mindset is warped, twisted, unbiblical, and unreal, thinking that somehow, some way, we just leave it alone and it'll be all right. So we need to recognize, Kenneth, that when as Christians, the bottom line is we need to pray and ask God to divinely intervene in this election that's taking place in New York, that's taking place in Virginia, that's taking place in New Jersey, that's taking place in, I believe it's in Delaware, where there's an Islamic jihadist mayor, candidate running for mayor. We need to pray and ask God to intervene and stop, put the brakes on, and stop the erosion of American freedom and the liberties that we have as Christians today. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call. God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go over with your question or comment, please.
How are you? How are you today, Dr. Youngblood?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. I believe that the true church is in no danger. Those that know Christ's voice and heed his voice are not in danger. However, that doesn't mean that there isn't a presence of evil around us. And what I'm saying that is what I'm talking about is those that have fallen away from the word and those corporate churches that acquiesce and bend the word to submit to secular society and governments, all forms of governments that do not allow the true word to be spoken. And that in itself then creates a persecution. As far as the individuals going that are saying infiltrate the churches there, we're already told that there are many who are going to be in the church that won't be recognized at the end. I do recall reading in Acts as well when Peter and John were confronted about the feeding of the poor and how that related to the actual church and those outside the church. And that should be a good reference to those within the church that there are those outside of the church that have no interest in Christ and are here to cause nothing but trouble, dissension, and to divide the church. We see it all the time. And every congregation, including those that are faithful to the word, as well as those that distort the word.
Jim, you're exactly right. I'm looking at Matthew 16, verse 13 through 18. And I'll not read all of it. But Jesus asked Peter, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter made a statement. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The balance of that unit of thought, the Lord Jesus commended him for what he had said. And he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against his church." Now, with that being said, and what you've said is exactly right, but here's a parenthetical footnote to that. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the universal church, not just the Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, etc., 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 the denominations. I believe we're going to watch denomination after denomination tumble as they more and more open the arms and embrace the sodomite LGBTQ lifestyle as they stand up and want to change the Bible, modify the scripture, and water down and dilute what God's word has says. I understand that from the denomination standpoint. And the true church will always be. But when you look at Acts chapter 2 and following, where the church was birthed, and then the first thing after the birth of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the very first thing that took place was the persecution, and the attempt to crush the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The more we stand for Christ, the more we stand for the Word of God, the more we want to be the witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we, as Christians, are willing to be salt and light, we're going to see an increase in the attacks from Satan and the demonic decisions made by so-called politicians, so-called leaders, on a local, state, national, global, international basis. And that's what we're witnessing. And so with that being said, I'll make a transition to validate and underpin my statement, Jim. Right now, the president is saying that he believes we need to send in troops in Nigeria because Nigerian Christians are being slaughtered by the thousands. In fact, one article that I have, there was an estimate of about 100,000 Christians in the past 2 years. They're burning church buildings. They're beheading pastors. They are destroying anybody that says they're saved, and it's the group of Islamic jihadists that's running wild. And when President Trump recently had a conversation with the president of the nation of Nigeria, he said nothing is happening, nothing is taking place. That's not true. President Trump pulled out some photographs and pictures of what was taking place with the beheadings and with the Christians being slaughtered, the churches being burned, and the head of Nigeria openly denied that. President Trump has now said that he's willing to send troops in to protect the Christians. Now, Jim, with that being said, where do you stand? Should he send troops in? Is that overstepping the authority of the president? What should he do? What should American Christians do? What should American political leaders do in the recognition and the realization that there is absolute slaughter taking place just because a person is saved? And my bottom line is, if it is allowed there, how long before it's going to be open in America, witnessing political office after political office as they put up and postulate candidates that are Islamic jihadists that has a desire to bring about global submission to Allah? What say you?
That is such a difficult question, because if you look at it historically there, this is not the first time that a religious minority or sect has been persecuted. 1933 through 1936 in Germany, the same thing occurred with the Jewish people there. And the United States is aware of it. Was it a moral failing that we didn't go?
Absolutely.
I can't. I am one that says that we probably should have acted a little bit earlier, but you're going to have a major part of society that says that we shouldn't be involved in foreign wars or be the policemen of the world. Is it wrong that the Islamic jihad and fundamentalists are butchering Christians? Absolutely. It's completely and utterly unacceptable. Should we intervene? Yes, to all as much as we can intervene without dragging ourselves into nation building and prolonged feet on the ground. The thing is once we're there, what's the mission? How long are we going to be there? When do we pull out? If we pull out, is it going to reoccur?
Well, Jim, here's a basic question that's set up just to analyze. Why are we involved in Ukraine? Why are we sending troops on standby? Why are we providing missiles and launchers and other instruments of war to protect the Ukrainians against Russia? And many times people have asked the question, why are we involved in that? That doesn't affect America. Yes, it does in the long run. My position is we ought not to put boots on the ground. Absolutely. My position is when it comes to Nigeria, we ought not to put boots on the ground as much as possible, but go in there. Why are we wiping out the pot boats as they come across the waters from Venezuela? Because the danger to America. And I believe it bodes, without any question, serious danger to America as we see Islamic jihadists spreading. Keep in mind, Islam, as you know, means submission. There's a goal from sea to shining sea. There's a goal around the globe by the Islamic jihadists. They've not given up. They've not stopped. And it's been that way since the 7th century. I've wanted to Islamicize the entire globe. And when that is taking place, I believe Christians need to wake up, stand up, look up, smell the coffee, and realize that it could very easily come to America. Jim, you may have recalled it. I think it's been 15, 20 years ago now, I started first mentioning Islam and the danger, and I said then that if you want to know what's going to happen, how America will look at what is happening in Europe today. That was 15, 20 years ago. Right at this very moment, the UK is 100%, maybe I should say 99.9% Islamically controlled. In the UK, there's streets that you can't even, a citizen can't even read the name of the street because it's in Arabic. In UK, there are places that even police law enforcement will not go because of the danger of it. And right at this very moment, I've read article after article where, as the term was on the newspaper headline, white women being raped openly on the streets and the leadership of the city just yawning and doing nothing. And now that's headed to America. A person can believe it or not and just yawn, as this, that article said, and think that it's not going to harm us. But I believe that we need to, the president, our nation, is in a position that God has divinely intervened and put Donald Trump in office. I believe we need to do all that we can to preserve America and to protect the citizens, and especially Christians, from future slaughter and defamation as a result of standing for Jesus. Jim, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to stay on hold for a few, just a couple of minutes after the news. I'd like to finish this conversation with you. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ.